Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Bless the Lord. It's good to see you guys again. You're getting another dose tonight of the old Chapman Laxton up here on the mic again. So I appreciate you all for staying in. I see Wade Ford's giving me an amen, so that makes me feel really good. Everybody else, you're whatever. No, I'm just kidding. Tonight, I want to continue on in our study of Proverbs, and we're moving along. Last week, we finished up, if you weren't here, talking about the call of wisdom in our life. If you missed that, I'm not going to re-preach that. Please go back and listen to that on the podcast. I think it can do something for you. But we're moving into a new position tonight, in a new way that in this study of Proverbs, as we begin to talk about a new thing tonight. But before we get into our study of Proverbs, I'm going to kind of switch it up on you guys a little bit. We're going to start with our study of Proverbs in a different book tonight. You guys go ahead and start turning to Genesis 3. We're going to be starting in Genesis 3 tonight. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and start turning there. While you're turning there, the whole idea of what I wanted to do in kind of starting this new section of Proverbs that we're going to start moving into tonight, I wanted to find a story that I felt like encapsulated everything that we covered in the last part where we talked about the call and would help bring into a more deeper understanding where we're going now as we begin to talk about the path that wisdom guides us on and the path that wisdom leads us on. And so I really think that as we're reading this story, this will begin to make more and more sense as to why I chose this one, why I believe the Lord intended for me to use this story tonight. But let's go ahead and let's start here in Genesis 3 for our Proverbs study tonight. So Genesis 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be made like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. At that moment, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees in the bushes of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' Man answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' At that time, God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be to your husband, and he will rule over you.' To Adam, he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you to not eat from, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return.' It was at this time that Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like each one of us, knowing good and evil, speaking of the Trinity. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. I want us to spend a few moments on this passage, diving into this, so it can lead us tonight into our study of Proverbs. Because though this is a really sad moment for God and a really unfortunate moment for mankind, we have to take a moment to look at the intimacy of this moment and allow ourselves to see God's heart here for us. The first thing that really jumps off the page to me as I read this story is this. From since the creation of man and his fall, God has been calling us back to the path that he is on. Even while we were still hiding in our shame and in the bushes, God has been calling us back ever since our very first encounter with sin. He saw Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes. And I know that any of us who have studied this story before, God is omnipotent. He is all-seeing. He is all-knowing. He knew exactly where they were. But instead of rousing his anger against these two who had one commandment, don't eat of this fruit, instead of being furious and burning down the garden and destroying them, God called out, "Where are you? Where are you?" I want us to see that God desires us to be reconciled to him. This has been God's heart since the beginning. He wants to provide a way for us to come back to him. You know, thinking about this moment, could you imagine being Adam and Eve in that moment? You've just realized that you've just messed this thing up, and so you hear God coming, and the fear of the conviction of what you've just done is laid so strongly upon you that you remove yourself from where you know that he's gonna be because you're so afraid of what's gonna happen. You know, I can think about story of when my brother and I were out playing baseball where our dad had told us not to be playing baseball at. And as one thing happens, whenever brothers begin to do things with their brother, we kind of started throwing the ball a little too hard than probably what we should have been. And a window got broke. And I remember thinking in that moment, he's going to kill me. Like, that's just it. Like that's it. Like, this is my life. It's over at 9. Like, I'm done for. You know? And walking in that moment of, you know, because dad just calls, boys, you can hear him in the house. Well, James, it's been nice knowing you. And we just go walking in the house like, this is it. Just that moment of, boys, what happened? Just that heart to be able to see my father have some grace in that moment whenever he told, we had one rule, just don't play right next to the house. Don't play, you can play catch anywhere in the yard. We're on a farm. You can play catch anywhere else except don't play right next to the house so you don't hit a window. And we did the one thing that we were instructed not to do, and we broke the one thing. But instead of scorched earth, instead of us getting this massive beating and killing us, go get a broom. Let's start getting this thing fixed. Because my father understood. My father wanted to have a relationship with us, and he was going to teach us through that moment. I mean, can we be encouraged by that tonight? God wants a relationship with us, even though we've missed it. Has anybody been there where you felt like, I've missed it, I need to go hide myself because of my shame? And then even still, while you're still in that moment, God calls you, bless the Lord. The second thing that I want to draw from this passage is that God allows us to reap the consequences that we sow, but I want us to see the difference between consequences of our actions and curses. Because God allows teachable moments to come through the things that we do wrong in order not so much as an idea of God wants to punish you and so here's this to punish you, but he's a good father. And a good father is going to allow your mistakes to teach you, hopefully so that you don't have to continue to be taught over and over and over again. But I want us to see that those things are not curses. Yes, we're living in a world that has been eternally affected by the consequences of Adam and Eve's choices. And we must see that though we live in a fallen, cursed earth, we ourselves have not been cursed. Because the curse, or a curse on our life, or a curse on you, gives no room for reconciliation. Even let's look at that passage of scripture. What was cursed? Serpent, I curse you among all livestock. You will crawl on your belly and eat dust for the rest of your days. Adam, because you did what I told you not to do, cursed is the ground because of you. And it shall produce for you thorns and thistles, and you will eat by the sweat of your brow. And the hard work that you put in, that is now what you're going to have to do to provide for yourself. But none of that, while yes, it was unfortunate, and while yes, it's easy in that moment to go, well, those things kind of stink. Woman, childbearing, pain, and your desire will be for your husband, and he will, yeah, all those things may seem, but none of those were curses. They were consequences of the actions of the choices that were made. See, there was a path that God was ready to meet Adam and Eve on. This is where I'm wanting to go with this story. But Adam and Eve chose a different path to walk on. From that moment, God has been on the right path calling us. Wisdom, that's what we've been talking about. Wisdom's calling us back. Let's get back on this path. And he allows the consequences of the other path to teach us to get off of it and get back on the path with him. I think it's important to recognize, too, that even from the beginning, not even Adam and Eve came back to the Father except for because he beckoned them to come back. Even in our own lives, we come to the Father because of his goodness. We come to the Father because he's calling us back to the path of righteousness. He's calling us back to the path of wisdom. And I want to emphasize this point, church, because I know we've all been there. We've all felt ashamed. We've all felt frustrated. We've all felt like no one could see this secret sin, this thing that I'm dealing with in my house. If people knew that what I was going through or what we were dealing with as a family, nobody would. Listen, God already sees what you're going through. God already knows. Quit being embarrassed. Quit letting the devil keep you captive in your secrecy and get back on the path of wisdom. The only way you can ever come out of the bushes and get back on the right path is for you to admit, I did something wrong. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And I want us to see that it's God's heart for you to come back. It's not God's heart to embarrass you. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you were shameful? Those were God's questions. Listen, God's not here to pile on you tonight. But God doesn't want you to stay the way that you were after you came back out of the bushes. God wants to see you clothed in a new way. And we're going to be getting into that. God's going to try to provide for you on this path. And regardless of what someone else has told you, you were made for the path of wisdom. Regardless of what somebody's told you your ability is, regardless of what somebody's told you because of your past is, regardless of what someone said because this happened in your life, now that's it for you. You were made and created with the intent purpose of being on the path of wisdom with God. It's not just for some people. If you had the call of God in your life and you accepted that call, you have been transformed into a new creature and you have been recreated to walk on the path with God. But it's going to take you stepping out of the bushes and answering that call tonight. It's going to take you getting out of the bushes and stepping back on the path of wisdom in order for us to get back step in step tonight. It's no place I'd rather be. That's what we just got through singing, right? Well, let's go ahead and let's get into some of this now. I find it curious that in Proverbs, path and way are used over 100 times in Proverbs. And being from Oklahoma, and just despite all the nightmares that Rascal Flatts gives me, life is a highway. It's an excellent parallel. I can't take that from them. And I know that they weren't the, but I just, every time I hear that, like, oh, well, life is a highway, I'm just like, and I'm going to ride it. Da, 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 da. You just kind of go that way. But listen, it's a phenomenal example to represent our walk with God. We are moving along a road toward a destination that hopefully, if you're a Christian, is leading you closer and closer toward being fulfilled as a believer in Christ. Now, the only way that we can get to our end destination is along the path that God lays out for us. See, I can't get to Clever driving like I'm headed to Hurley. The only way I can get there is to go along the path that will get me there. There's only a path that I can take. That I can't drive the opposite direction unless I want to go all the way around the world. There's no other way for me to get there unless I drive towards that direction. And see, we have to recognize that the only way that we can get there is on the path that God lays out for us. But even still, as we travel along this path, we by ourselves have no hope to make it toward our end destination unless along the way, there are pit stops set up for us for God to maintain, keep, preserve, replenish, fill up, take care of, provide, protect for us. We won't make it down the road, even on the road of wisdom, unless we allow God to provide for us, to protect us, to push us along the way. We have certain needs that have to be taken care of, that have to be addressed. And praise God that our Creator understood our makeup and what we needed, what we truly needed. And see, this concept lines up perfectly with the findings of a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow. Now, I'm just going to really quickly talk about this because it really uniquely fits into the trajectory of where we're going over the next few weeks. So I just want to hit on this real quick. See, this gentleman, even though it was God who created this idea, had it credited to him that people who were highly motivated and very successful, had certain needs met in their lives which allowed them to move closer and closer to their personal fulfillment. See, people who had their needs met on these certain levels, he found that those people, more times than not, were able to be more successful or were able to continue further than people who didn't get basic needs taken care of. And so essentially, he created this pyramid where there were five levels of fulfillment, which were covered by three overlapping needs that were met before you could go on to the next stage. Now, I don't really want to dive all into that because that's a lot of stuff. If you're interested in that, we can talk about that later. But I just want to talk about those three needs just real quick because I think it's really incredible. Because this is exactly how God is wanting to work for us as we go down this road, down this path that wisdom has for us. At the very bottom are your basic needs like shelter, food, covering, protection. Those are the very basic needs, and those are at the very bottom. Before you could move on, those are at the very bottom tier of the three steps. The next one, in the middle, were the psychological needs, courage, boldness, praise, certain things in the middle of that pyramid that from that position of, because you got your basic needs met, you could go up a step, get those psychological needs met, and then go on to the last step, which is the fulfillment needs. What you actually do need to do to focus on fulfilling the call or the purpose that you have for your life. Now, this isn't a Christian guy, but this is completely Christian principles. This is how God works with us. He builds us up from the bottom and gets us all the way to the top, going step by step. And I want us to see that because this is, again, how we're going to be moving. Tonight, we're going to be focusing in chapter 2 of Proverbs. So if you want to get yourself ready for that, that's where we're starting tonight. And we will find that on the path that wisdom provides for us, in chapter 2, we're going to talk about protection and provision. See, people cannot continue on their walk in their growth and their development without understanding that wisdom seeks to take care of you. Wisdom seeks to provide things for you. There are going to be certain things that you are going to get on the path of wisdom that you cannot get anyplace else. And see, it's from that place of protection in chapter 2 that we're going to move up into a new place. See, think about back to the story that we just read. After God took care of Adam and Eve and got everything situated, what was the first thing that he did for them? He made them new coverings. These fig leaves are not going to do for you. Here, let me knit you together a better protective covering to take care of your immediate basic needs. And see, and that's what God started with. And it was from that place of protection and from a place in our own lives, from a place of protection and understanding that God will provide for us, that we can be confident and move in boldness in the direction that God has for us in chapter 3. That's what we're going to talk about next week. And see, I love this too. After God covered them, he knew that they could no longer live in the Garden of Eden, so he told them, you're going to have to leave. Adam and Eve didn't throw a fit. Why? Because they knew that God was going to protect them and provide for them. And so they could go ahead in boldness, step on out of the Garden of Eden, the only home that they'd ever known, and leave that at least content enough to know God will provide for us. God will protect us. God is looking out for us. He wants a relationship with us. And so we can move forward in that. And it's from that consistently moving in the direction that God would have us go that we will get into what's in chapter 4, and that's where wisdom will seek to perfect us. See, this requires us, in order to move into a place of perfection, this requires us to stay the course. Even when it looks scary, even when things are challenging to us, even when it doesn't seem like things around us are going well, but whenever we know on the inside of us that God is going to take care of us, that he has plans for us, a direction for us to go, we can continue down. And as we're going down the path of wisdom, little things along the way are going to be added to us. Little things are going to continue to be added unto us. And we can just keep going down this line of wisdom into a place of perfection that we'll ultimately reach whenever we receive our reward, which is in heaven. Amen? Y'all guys with me on that? So that just was a little bit set up. So that's my intro. Let's get into chapter 2 of Proverbs tonight. And again, what we're talking about here is the path of wisdom leads us to protection and provision. So let's get started here, Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2 verse 1 says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. See, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits are in the dead as well. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus, you, my son, you will walk in the ways of good and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Now, I want to reiterate this point because I said it earlier, and I want to say it again. God is calling us to the path of wisdom because he wants to provide for us. Why would we go down this path? Because there's protection and provision. See, it's not just because, well, I am God and I said so, so this is where you're going. No, the path of wisdom leads you down a right way that will protect you and provide for your life. And if you'll continue down this path, God will continue to have things in store for you. But I want us to see, it's our choice whether or not if we step on that path, or if as we're going at any point in time, we decide, I want to go off-roading. See, it's not God's fault if you don't do it God's way. You can't be going to church and following down this path of wisdom and listening to correction and doing all these things, and then start doing something that's not even in the Bible and start trying to follow some other kind of teaching and say, this is where I'm going to get my... And then whenever things start going bad, go, well, I tried that church stuff. I tried that Christianity stuff and it don't work for me. That lets me know that at some point you got deceived off the path and something else enticed you to make you think that you had a better way than the way that God had for you. And any other road that's not the path of wisdom is going to lead you to a place where you are naked, afraid, and ashamed. That's just where you're going to end up. You're going to end up spiritually stripped and laid bare, and you're going to be in a place of destitution on any other path than the path that God sets out for you. There is no other hope for you. Now, it might start off good for you. It might start off real good, and it might look really easy. Oh, man, this wide road's real nice. I can get away with, man, this, you're telling me this ain't really even that bad over here. Man, this wide road's got a lot of room for all of my highfalutin ideas and all of my theories about how I think things are in the world. Man, that wide road's real comfy to be on. But let me tell you, there's only one place that it leads to, and we're going to get into that. But I want to make sure that we see that's not the road that God would call you to. God has provision for you. What are the things that God says that he'll provide for us? Well, let's take a look. I've got 8 things that I think that Proverbs 2 points out pretty clearly that God says that he has for us that fulfill our most basic needs, protection and provision. The first thing's in verse 5. We will understand the fear of the Lord, and we will find knowledge of God. Listen, all your blessings that you're going to get from God have to start right here. That's the first great thing. Whenever you step onto the path of wisdom, the first thing that you're going to find on the path of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Because it's the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. You can't hope to get anything else if you don't first have the fear of the Lord. And that's where your path will start for you. And you'll have the knowledge of God. You need some knowledge or you lack in knowledge? Start on the path of wisdom with the fear of the Lord, a reverence and an understanding and an awe of who he is. The second thing that God wants to give you is in verse 7. I think this is great. We're already on the second one. This is pretty fantastic. says he will give you success in verse 7. And he will be your shield. This is already looking pretty good. I mean, I'm kind of a simple guy. You could just stop right there. You tell me I'm going to be successful and I'm going to have knowledge and you're going to be my shield and protect me. And we could just stop right there. But no, God wants to continue on. God's got more things for us on the path of wisdom with provision and protection. Verse 8, third thing, says that God will guard your course and protect your way. I wanna look at those sounds kind of funny, but he will guard your course and protect your way. I looked up both those your course and your way. It's not your literal path as you're walking, it's a spiritual protection of the plans that he has for you to walk in. See, if you'll walk in commitment on the path of wisdom, God will guard your way that he has for you. God will guard the plans that he has for you. God will help continue to bring into manifestation the blessings and the successes that he has for you as you continue down the path. I don't know about y'all, but things are looking pretty good on the path of wisdom. Fourth thing in verse 9, you will understand every good path through what is right, just, and fair. You're going to know how to make decisions in your life based on those three principles: what is right, what is just, what is fair. Chapman, I don't know if I should do this. Let me ask you, is it right, just, or fair? No, don't do it. Don't do it. Chapman, I'm not for sure if this is the right career path for me. Let me ask you, does it line up with the word and does it point you in the direction of what's right, what's just, and what's fair? No, it really don't. Don't do it. Because I think we were all on board with, there's only one path that God has, and that's the path of wisdom. All other roads don't lead to good things, so let's stay on the path. Use what's right, what's just, and what's fair to help you make decisions in your life. Verse 11, fifth thing, God will give you discretion. Man, this is something that a lot of people don't have, and I'm one of those people. Discretion is the ability to speak without causing offense. Man, I need some more of that. I don't know if there's anybody else in here that needs just a hair bit more discretion. But bless the Lord, from a place of wisdom, your speech will not allow you to be offendable to the wrong. Because don't get me wrong, there are some times where we need to offend powers of darkness, where we need to speak and offend some people in wrong thinking. But not in our everyday life. Not at Walmart and some guy gets in front of you, or not some official at a ball game who is having a tough day and having a hard time making up and down the court. You need to speak with some discretion, because what are you doing with your witness as you are continuing down your walk in wisdom? Oh, I'm a Christian, I'm walking in wisdom, but you're going around offending people left and right and not in the way that God finds it admirable. Go in such a way that you're able to lead people and convince people that the path that you're on is better than what I've got going for them. I mean, think about it like this. Why were so many people enamored with following Christ? Why were so many people just drawn to him? They were captivated by the way that he spoke and by the power and the authority that he walked in. Listen, you're going to have some discretion in the ability that you do things and the way that you speak, and you will pull people to you, not to the you. They're going to understand that what it is that's so great about you that they can't keep from being around you is because of the God that's on the inside of you and the wisdom that you have that comes from heaven. And you're going to teach people, they can get that also. Goes on to say, verse 12, the sixth thing, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Real simple here. Where do the paths of wicked men lead? To death, to God's judgment. I want to do everything that I can to not ever find myself lined up underneath God's judgment. I get that one day naturally I'm going to die, but I don't want, whenever my life is over, to have been led down the path of wicked men who delighted in the perverseness of their evil ways, who Mel was talking about today at school, who rejoice whenever they do something wrong and don't get caught and don't seek to make a change in their life. I don't ever want to be someone that rejoices whenever I've done something wrong and no one's caught me, because I can't wait for the next time that I do it again. It's one thing when you're speeding through town. Well, no, I probably shouldn't go there either. You shouldn't delight at getting away with doing evil things. That's what we're talking about here. If you find yourself being enticed by, oh, this is cool. Oh, this kind of gets my adrenaline going. I'm doing the wrong thing and nobody knows. Well, that's going to catch up to you. It may not be in 5 minutes. It might be in 5 years. But golly, it's going to be real destructive at the end of it. Seventh thing in verse 16, it says that wisdom will save you from the adulterous woman. Now, obviously, being wise will keep you from committing adultery, but that's actually not what this scripture is 100% pertaining to. This scripture is talking about folly here. The adulterous spirit. Leaving the commitment of your youth, the path of the Lord, and finding something else. Allowing the tempter into your life to entice you with something that's a fun fling for a little while, and I'm going to go cheat on the Lord for a little while, and then whenever things blow up in my face and I'm in pain, well, I tried that Christian stuff and it didn't work. Listen, the house of the adulterous woman leads to death. All roads that aren't the path of wisdom lead to death. There's no path outside of the path that God wants to lay out for you that will lead you to good things. Well, Chad, that's pretty black and white. Literally the smartest guy in the whole world, ever the existence of the world, richest guy in the whole world, ever the existence of the world, he's the one that wrote it underneath the motivation of the Holy Spirit. So whenever we get to heaven, talk to Solomon about why'd he make it like that. I think it's because that's the way it is. I'm sure that's it really is just that simple. Listen, there's no other way in your life that you're going to get fulfillment, where you're going to get provided for, where you're going to get protection outside of the blessing of God. Hannah and I talk about it all the time. How in the world do people do it without him? Oh, well, you're weak to be a Christian. Well, no, I just don't have a bunch of, you might look real good on the surface, bud, but I know deep down you got to be panicking every time you see this happen in the world or that happen in the world or this. There's no other way to do this thing without the blessing of God. And the only way you can stay on that path is to stay on the path of wisdom. And the last thing here that we will get on the path of wisdom is in verse 17. It says, and the upright will live and the blameless will remain. The wicked will be cut off and the unfaithful will be torn from it. You will have life and life more abundantly. And not just will you have life and live and blessing in your natural life now, but you will remain. Your spirit will remain in a place of blessing. What does that look like? That's heaven. You will remain in the presence of God when your life is over. But see, you can't remain in something unless you've started in something. You can't be found remaining in the Lord at the end of your life if you've not walked a life in the presence of God on the path of wisdom. God's trying to call you back now before we get to the end and go, but Lord, Lord, God's trying to provide for you. God's trying to protect you. And he's trying to let you see that on this path, there's provision and protection. Four quick things that I want to touch on because I think it really is this easy. How do we get these things. Okay, I understand we got to be on the path of wisdom, but how do I put myself in a position where I'm walking and I'm continuing to walk on the path that God has laid out for me? Well, the great thing is Proverbs 2 has laid it out. Verse 1, accept his words and store up his commands. This is where it all starts. Accept his words and store up his commands. Listen, you've got to believe that what God says is true. And then you've got to not just believe so much that you go, oh yeah, that's nice. You've got to believe so much that you're willing to act upon those convictions. That's what belief is. Belief is being able to act upon what you know, what you've committed to yourself, what you've stored up, what you've accepted. In doing so, in verse 2, it says we need to turn our ears to wisdom and apply our hearts to understanding. I love that these two are written right here in the same thing, because you think about it, your ears and your heart, well, what are the, you're not just listening right here. You ever had somebody just listen to you like this, and they ain't really listening? Gosh, I couldn't imagine how frustrating that would be for someone. No, you're not just listening right here. You're listening intently because you care about what someone is saying. You're so ready to hear what's being said that's in your heart. Your heart is attuned to what the Spirit of God is trying to say, what wisdom is trying to say in your life. Your eyes are opened, your ears are ready to hear, and your heart is behind it. Verse 3 says, if we'll call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, are you allowing what you're believing in your heart for enough to come out in the confessions of your mouth? Do you care enough about gaining wisdom that you are confessing wisdom over your life? Are you patterning your speech to more closely reflect something? Is this something that God would say? Is this an answer that Christ would have? Am I putting myself in a position where I'm saying something because I feel like saying it? Okay, here's the path. That's the road you're going to go on. Just know, it might hook back. Chances are, probably not. I want to be a person, and this is something that I have to work on, especially as someone who's an extrovert. I want to be someone that when I'm speaking, I'm saying only what I'm supposed to say. That doesn't mean that I'm always going to say really nice, cushy things. Like, there might be times where I have to have some really hard conversations, but I don't want to let my emotions come up in those moments and lead me to say something that's not of God. The last thing here, and this is a big one, and I think this is really important because I think it kind of combines all of them together. Verse 4 says, but if you will search for it as hidden treasure. You know, my mind just automatically goes to the gold rush and those people who were just so desperate to find gold that they moved their families across the country, or even worse, left their families to go in search of gold so they could hopefully find some to send back to take care of their family. Are you that desperate for the wisdom of God in your life that you would change the environment that you're in to put yourself in a better location where you could get wisdom? Are you so desperate to find wisdom that you would change what friends you hang out with on the weekends? Are you so desperate to have wisdom in your home that you would change the shows that you watch? Are you so desperate for wisdom in your life that you would change the music that you're listening to? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how desperate you are. I don't know how badly you want wisdom. What I can tell you is that the Bible just says that if we'll do these things, then we'll have the fear of the Lord and start the beginning of knowledge. Everything starts there. We have to want to get out of the bushes and get on the path of wisdom. And understand, it's a straight and narrow path. And to be honest, man, I find myself a lot of times, I find myself off of it sometimes. Messed up. But the Holy Spirit is in me, and he directs me and says, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's get back over here. And the Holy Spirit gives me direction to get back on the path. Because the Holy Spirit in me wants me to be protected, wants me to be provided for, wants my most basic needs taken care of, because he wants me to continue down the path that God would have for me. This is just the first step tonight in where we're going. We're going to be moving into our direction next week, but that's all I've got for you guys tonight. Y'all stand with me and let's pray.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.